Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Brighton Rock Podcast, the podcast about the beautiful club within the beautiful game. And we've got a Sheffield United review episode here, but it is also a non-league matchday special episode. It's our first time covering Worthing for the season. It is my second game in 4 days, though, and my third Worthing game all the way this season. We're at Welling United, aren't we, Peter?
No, I'm not.
Well, I distinctly suggest you are, as I am, and I'm talking to you.
I'm Eric from Belvedere.
It's the same ground, of course, and we have your dad, David, with us as well, who may or may not contribute, but hello, David.
Hello, David.
Hello, David.
Hi, Ross.
We're going to talk in two parts, really, here. One, we'll talk about the Worthing game, how their season's going, and what we think of today's game. Should have been, I think, a free kick to Worthing in the build-up to the goal that sees Welling lead 1-0 at half-time. But there we go. More on that later. Sheffield United, though. None of us were there, or you were... You went to the game, didn't you, David?
Yeah, I was there.
Well, can we get your views first on the match? Just overall summary. Just a brief summary.
It wasn't a great game, funnily enough. For a 5-0 win, I'm you normally rip someone's arm off for a 5-0 away win.
But I do know what you mean.
Many over the years.
I do know what you mean.
But between the second and third goal, I don't know how long that was. Nothing happened, really.
40 minutes, probably.
Except for their disallowed goal, I don't think anything happened.
40 minutes.
Albion did what they had to do. It was like a training match half the time.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm honest, I'd still rip your arm off for a 5-0 away win where we didn't play very well, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There is that, too. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll take a while before I get bored of that.
I mean, United are so poor.
Yeah, very poor.
I mean, the truth. I mean, obviously Holgate contributed massively, but they're pretty poor team.
Yeah, I mean, they said they're missing players like John Egan and Chris Basham, but you think, well, they're not really Premier League players anyway,
are
they?
There's a few we're missing.
They're not exactly
as well.
Julio Inciso and
Pedro, who scored two there last time.
Exactly. So,
yeah,
he scored three.
I was thinking the two ones at the end, but there was a pair.
I mean, for anyone that's been, completely on a different planet, obviously, score-wise, it was 5-0. And they had a player sent off before any of the goals were scored. But I don't think that contributed to the outcome. No. Maybe to the scoreline, but not to the outcome. I wouldn't say.
You can't be sure, because, I mean, Luton did us 4-0, didn't they? And, I mean...
Yeah, true.
Oh, but they were already 2-0 up by the time.
I know they were.
By the time Holgate got sent off.
Yeah. I mean, Holgate
Luton are a significant step up. I know they lost to them recently.
Luton are playing pretty well at the moment.
Ironically, they lost to them recently. Yeah. But they are a significant step up for Sheffield United.
Well, let's talk about the challenge, because that's the first incident, wasn't it?
Game slightly.
I think we start wandering off to go out for the second half. Pete, your take on the okay tackle that shouldn't have been a red card.
Well, I completely
according
agree with
the Sheffield United captain.
It wasn't even a foul. It was
Anal Ahmed Zadaba something. Yeah.
We'll call him Bob for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he seems to think it was a fair tackle, or at least shouldn't have been a red.
No, I think he said it was a fair tackle.
Yeah, we go this way.
He didn't even say it was a foul, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the takes you could have, I mean, it was the worst tackle I've seen in a long time. It was absolutely horrendous.
Short of, is it Fritos, the name of the guy? I can't remember the name of the guy.
Yeah, I actually think that was less dangerous for Knockhart than the one that was for Mitoma.
I mean,
I think it was more preempted, the Fritos one, possibly.
Yeah. He was only looking at the player. He went with excessive force, a very high level.
The ball.
His training foot was off the ground when he made contact, and eventually made contact with the ball, which is irrelevant. Which I think Chris Wilder tried to tag into the argument.
Mitoma was extremely lucky.
Yeah,
to get very, very serious injury.
Yeah, I mean,
potentially even end his career.
The force to his leg, the amount of jarring, the way his leg whipped into a completely different position on immediate point of contact. Was quite significant, wasn't it?
It was a shocking challenge, and it's for both Wilder.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle he carried on playing.
Get through this way.
Oh, maybe not. Yeah.
He can't get through this way.
Maybe not. We'll see if we can. We might be able to. Oh, we can get through. There's a fence, but there's a gate. Quite a big.
Don't take a fence.
Quite a big ground here, Peter. I'm going to ignore that pun.
4,500.
Yeah.
Which era of the Belvedere matches must be quite quiet.
Yeah. Anyway, my point about Mitoma is I think he's one of the men of the match despite having had to endure that injury in the early part of the game. He went on to have a great game.
I mean, both our winners, when the bits they were on form absolutely destroyed them. I mean, it was, it was men against boys, wasn't it, really?
Yeah. And we went on to, obviously, get the 5 goals. There was one own goal. The other goals were scored by Adingra with 2. Obviously. Hello, how are you doing? All right. who scored the other goals?
You know someone.
Yes, I know someone.
Buenanotte,
of course, again.
And Welbeck.
So I had a bet on Welbeck and Adingra to score. And it is your bet. That's £51. Thank you very much, Brighton and Albion.
You actually put £50 in there.
Yeah, I should. Buenanotte, it's a thing of players having a habit of scoring against the same teams, isn't it?
They're rather more messy goal in this last week.
Just a bit, yeah. But I mean, I think overall, I think we're certainly happy with the result, certainly happy with the outcome, and particularly with the fact that Mitoma wasn't injured.
Yeah, exactly. Get through it in a game without suspensions, without another injury, without, you know, you can't complain about that. And yeah, it sounds ridiculous to complain about, or not to comment on the fact that when a game where you won 5-0, but we didn't play that well, I thought, to be honest, and we need to play better than that against Everton to get a result.
Yeah, as your dad said,
yeah,
it was actually not that great a game for a 5-0 lead, 5-0 win. You expected more entertainment. It wasn't that great. What was curious about it as well was the fact that how did Holgate go flying in like that? It wasn't that sort of game. There wasn't anything. There was no history. There was nothing going on beforehand to suggest that
they were a bit tetchy in the cup game as well.
Yeah,
they were a bit like, and they were a bit arsy after us about how we went down easily and stuff. And Wilder, although he admitted both penalties were right, then moaned about other stuff. And the guy's massively out of his depth in the Premier League, and he's embarrassed himself recently with numerous comments. And he's done it again, basically. He's
the second Earl of Sandwich, if you read David Squires in The Guardian, his cartoon stuff, which is exceptional.
I mean,
hilarious.
Anyone who goes out and says, I hope he enjoyed his sandwich while talking to Premier League manager, is basically an absolute prick.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Especially when he's really barely a Premier League manager, in all honesty.
Yeah, exactly. And I just felt that... Hang on a second. We'll just break and play here. Worthy on the
attack. Good keeping, to be fair.
Yeah, came out early and cleared it. I agree with what you said. I think it's one of those games where, I mean, we have 5 bookings. And you think, well, how the hell did we get 5 bookings? They had 1, I think, in the game.
In fairness, I was less annoyed about that than the Tottenham one, where we ended up with more bookings than Tottenham, ridiculously, and... It was like, well, they committed far more cynical fouls than we did.
And we don't do that, do we? Do you think it's time we started doing it? Are we missing something here? Because every time we seem to be on the receiving end of these things and never on the giving end. Is there an issue here? Do we need to be tougher with this?
I think we do need to make more cynical challenges, yeah. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Well, I've got a few notes about this game. We'll just keep an eye on the Worthing match. Worthing on the attack, just inside the Welling box. Cleared and then it's gone out. Yeah, so nothing doing at the moment. I've got a few notes from the game, right? So 8th minute, Ben Osborne on Buonanotte, no foul, should have been a foul. That's how the game started. That's what set the tone.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Do you remember that? 11th minute, Holgate obviously on Mitto, which a couple of minutes later led to
the sending off. Atwell only booked him definitely. We think maybe even didn't even give a foul, actually. I think it might be the line to negate the foul.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Which, I mean, Atwell, we all know he's a bit useless.
Yeah. So at that point, two cynical fouls already.
That game last year that was Atwell was refereeing in.
Oh, God, let's not talk about that. Anyway, just to summarise the rest. So 20th minute, Grosch cross, dunk header, Webbo, Webster, misses it, and Buonanotte scored 1-0 to the referee, seeing the Sheffield United fans somehow feeling hard done by at this point.
They feel hard done by because they claim it's not a corner when it clearly was a corner.
Yeah, it very, very clearly and very necessarily came off the Sheffield United defender to clear it. We went in with a diving header.
Well, I'm not sure necessarily.
Didn't make contact.
I'm not completely convinced that actually Valentino would have got there actually without the deflection, but he certainly couldn't leave it. And
he
knows full well he's touched it.
Yeah, 100%. It was a corner. They complained. We took the corner. 22nd minute, good attack down the right from Sheffield United, actually, from Harmer. That was a good, really good attack. That was one of their only good moments of the game.
He looks one of their bright... He and McAtee look the two bright sparks in that team who might actually make a Premier League career. The rest of them look like journeymen or should go on no journeymen.
Absolutely.
Or should stay at home men.
A lot happened in this half. Next minute, 23rd minute. Oh, offside in the box from Worthing there. 23rd
looks
minute.
Looks like it probably was, even from this angle.
Mittimer, penalty appeal. He got past his man, two hands on the back, on his back, upper back area, pushed him, went over. Could he have sailed on his feet? Possibly. Did he need to? Was he entitled to? No. Was it actually a penalty? I think it was.
I think if you put two hands on the back in a box,
Sheffield United fans chant, cheat, 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 cheat. You know, because he's been cheating when he received an assault to the knee.
And their fans
and he
then
was cheating when he's pushed over.
But they were booing him after that. And it's like, no, they were booing him, clearly booing him after the incident for the red card already. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's a penalty. I don't understand how VAR didn't give it. VAR looks at that and can clearly see that it's two hands on Mitoma's back. Yeah. It's a terrible decision. It should have been a penalty.
Yeah,
no 100%.
Question. And they kept cheating, calling him a cheat, booing. A minute later, Mittimer breaking on the left, led to a Welbeck goal because obviously Mittimer had the shot. It was well saved.
Uh-oh. Double save from
and the return shot.
Double save from a Worthing
went in. That's exactly what was going on in front of us, minus the goal. The goalie
good
made
keeping.
Both saves. Brilliant. But yeah, on Sunday, Mittimer had the shot. It was saved. Welbeck scored. And I found it was brilliant that Mittimer was involved in an assist literally a minute after all this shit had been going on from their fans who were delusional. And I've got a rant to make about Northern football fans and their delusions about tough Northerners and Southerners and all that crap. They really have got a hang-up, which is getting beyond.
The irony is that most Northern teams who are bloody, like, kind of call themselves hard end up being the ones who go down the easiest.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, anyway, Worthy on the attack. Let's pause for a second. On the attack down the left-hand side, back inside. Played across to the right for Joe Felix. Inside for...
Oh!
I didn't see who it was with the cross, but Ollie Pearce...
Cashman, wasn't it?
Free score. Yeah, it's Danny Cashman, yeah. A free-scoring Ollie Pearce in the box with a diving header. Timed it wrong, though.
He was almost on the floor, in fairness, at the time.
It was a brilliant defensive header.
Yeah. He was almost on the floor at the time, in fairness.
Patrick Hero for the weekend when they won 4-1 at Weymouth. I was there. We'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, the rest of the game. So 24th minute, Welbeck scores.
You have a lot of notes.
I've got a lot of notes, yeah. Welbeck scored 2-0. 26th minute, sarcastic applause with a soft free kick given for a supposed foul by Dingra. 29th minute, boos for Mitto again, who immediately makes a double... chance for teammates. 30th minute, Gilmore is fouled again. That was a blatant foul, possible yellow card, no free kick given whatsoever. 32nd minute, Welbeck heads too close to the goalkeeper, decent chance, not too bad. 35th minute, more boos for Mittimer, another dangerous play on the inside channel. Typical disgraceful behaviour from the Sheffield United fans. 38th minute, donkey touchline flick. Let's talk about that. Somebody on the Match of the Day 2, they talked about the too good, too bad thing. And they showed McAtee's brilliant takedown of a very long diagonal angle ball from the left defensive position to the right attacking position. And it was a beautiful takedown, superb touch.
Well,
they showed that. But they didn't show Dunk's flick on the touchline, which was absolutely magnificent.
Yeah,
kept the ball in play and found a teammate. Anyway, Worthing on the attack again here. Could this be one all?
Oh,
no.
Waif.
No, he's aiming for someone's he's aiming for someone's bovril in the third row there. Decent effort though. Should have done more.
Should have passed it.
Donkey's flick though. Fantastic work, wasn't
it? Ridiculous bit.
It's Brazilianic, wasn't it?
I mean, if Southgate doesn't take him to the Euros, then there's no fucking point in being there, really.
Well, many neutrals I've spoken to have said it's ridiculous that he hasn't been called up a lot sooner and a lot more often.
Yeah, oh yeah, completely.
Anyway, 43rd minute, Jan-Paul van Hekke. Great defending down the flank. Remember, he was done on the left, down the left attacking wing, defensive right side for the Albion. And he tracked back and blocked it, led to the corner, which led to the goal that was disallowed, which, of course, was for an offside. Talk about that, Peter.
I mean, in the end, they got the right decision. They got the right decision initially, and it was the wrong reasons.
Yes. There's a lot of complicated analysis, wasn't there?
Yeah. But in the end, yeah, exactly. If you can't... It's not a separate period of play if someone accidentally kind of... So end-to-end at the moment, this.
Yeah. Could be 2-0 to Welling here. Let's hope not.
No. Very much not 2-0 to Welling.
Not with that rugby conversion, no.
I mean, it wasn't a rugby conversion. That would have been well wide in rugby.
I think that's probably damaged a car four rows away from the stadium. Anyway, I thought there was a foul on our defender, the guy climbing at the back post that got the header back across.
I think that'd
before
been soft,
we even
to be
get
fair.
To it would have been soft, maybe, but you can argue that.
The referee gave it for a foul on the key on Verbruggen,
yeah.
I think.
It then bobbled across, didn't it? It came off the back of Buenos's head. It was kind of like a reflex.
And at the time, Osborne was in a clear offside position.
He's not playing the ball.
And because it hit Buenos rather than having control of it.
He didn't play it deliberately.
Which is the rule, and it's right. Yeah. Whether or not you agree with the rule, and I can see arguments both ways about the rule. Under the rule, it was a clear offside. It probably shouldn't have taken as long as it did, to be honest.
Well, I don't know. I think you've got to take a little bit of time with that one to make sure, because there's a lot going on in that.
But it was clearly offside.
Well, yeah, but there's a few bits you could easily miss if you rush the decision. I actually didn't mind that too much.
I think they took a while overruling the foul. And then
And
once they'd overruled the foul, they then went into the other side.
Yeah.
And that's when they probably were a bit quicker on the offside.
Yeah. Well, just moving on, the 50th minute of the first half. No, I'm saying the first half. Dunk header from Grosch corner. Tipped over, decent effort. 51st minute, Lamptey, soft yellow. Shouldn't have been booked for that. We're talking about the five bookings.
I
don't even remember what it was, but it was just a meaningless foul. There was nothing in it at all, and he got booked. As soon as we cause a foul, we get booked for it.
Well, every time we tackle them, they basically call for a red card.
It just does my head in, yeah. Anyway, that was that. Souza, who's a real wind-up merchant and a real dickhead and a typical low-level bruiser, as far as I'm concerned.
I think he might have had a point there. I think he might have been kicked by the...
Yeah, possibly.
By the Welling player onto the Worthing player rising by first.
Yeah, it's big. We've got a corner. It probably should have been a goal kick. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Yeah, Sousa's a bit of a wind-up guy. A bit of a bruiser. Foul on Bonner.
Sousa the bruiser.
Buonanotte. And he's then facing off, yes. He's then facing off with Welbatch. Remember, there was a real locking horns type job. Pretty pathetic. Oh, great play here by Worthing. It's gone into the middle. Oh! Just wide.
I think it might have been recent.
Yeah.
It's very open second half here. It's been end to end. There's like a lot going on. It's amazing it's still 1-0, really.
Absolutely. Anyway, yeah, so that was the Welbatch thing. Facing off with Sousa. Sousa's a wind-up merchant.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
Come on in.
He was wants some.
You know when Holgate got sent off, he was at the thick of all that shit as well. Yeah, pushing people around.
Thick of shit being
a good word. Anyway, second half, I think it went a lot flatter, as your dad was saying. Can't remember if that's on air or off air, but he was talking about that earlier.
I think it was off air, maybe.
It went a bit unremarkable, didn't it, after that? And yeah, obviously 2-0 to 5-0 going into the second half.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really happened until the third goal, I think it's safe to say. You know, they occasionally looked a bit lively on a break amid a track back, and we just passed it around and looked very happy to
say
it's 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, we had a 50.
And I was cursing it because I was like losing my points prediction competition and like thinking, I'm not going to get the points I'd have hoped for at 2-0.
Yeah.
And then, suddenly, once the goal went in, it was just, they just fell apart, didn't they?
Yeah, it's carnage, as you'd imagine it might be when the red card originally happened. In the 54th minute, they had a really well worked move. They ended in a Dingra having a shot. 56th minute, Wananote got a soft yellow. Same as Lamptey, shouldn't have been a booking. 59th minute, Modder, brilliant bit of defending.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah.
Fast tracking back a long distance. In basically a centre back position, wasn't it?
Ooh,
oh! They've gone 2-0 up, Welling, against the run of play. It's a good goal, but really shouldn't be 2-0 up here. Anyway, we'll come back to that in a minute. Yeah, Modder, brilliant defending. Yep. We went on to 61st minute. Mittimer, brilliance on the wing. Again, wins a corner. 67th minute, downward volley that was cleared. 75th minute, the own goal, made it 3-0, and that was game over. 78th minute, a Dingra volleyed goal.
Yeah, best goal of the game by distance.
And a Grosch cross, another assist for Grosch.
Well, also, he put the cross in for the corner in for the first goal. He put the cross in for the second goal. I mean, the guy is just a machine.
He was outstanding. And we'll quote his stats in a moment. Raymond sent me some stats. We'll go on to that shortly. But 78th minute, a Dingra volley goal we talked about. 85th minute, a Dingra again. It was a bit of an unclean shot, slight deflection, went over the line.
I think Ferguson, slight deflection's an understatement.
Ferguson tried desperately to get his first goal in ages, couldn't make a contact, which sums up his recent time, doesn't it? I feel for him, but then it was brilliant for a Dingra to get a goal. But I've got to make an extra note, and nobody's talked about this. In the run-up to that goal, Robinson, their number 19, another tackle that was at least a yellow, probably an orange tackle, on Fatty in the build-up. He went flying in, nowhere near the ball. That is at least a yellow card, possibly a red card. The referee looked at it, ignored it. The goal was scored. Okay, great. But does that mean the player should get away with that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Another bit of bruising play for Sheffield United. Anyway, never mind. They're 5-0 down at that point. 93rd minute. Davies probably angry at his barber. I put it here because he had a terrible haircut. Substitute one of those Mohicans. Get snippy with Bart Verbruggen. Yellow cards for both. Why was Bart booked for that?
Well, that was the other booking, wasn't it? Yeah.
Why was he booked? Yeah. Three of our bookings shouldn't have happened. Lamptey, the one I mentioned earlier, I can't remember, Ross Bonasso, I think. And Bart Verbruggen. He was basically did nothing wrong there.
I'm not going to get too hung up about Bart Verbruggen booking because he's not likely to get 10 all season.
No, probably not. Not with the rotation. By the way,
Most ever rotation
to the Premier League has been achieved by us now, and we're only in February.
Achieved by us.
Achieved. And we're only in February. Anyway, there we go. So that was that. Chris Wilder's opinion after the game. He said, it's a mistimed tackle. That's the understatement of the century. He said, you know, whether it's too powerful on people that talk about however they want to dress it up, the game's moved on, I get it, but it certainly gave the yellow card straight away. I think he pulled out. No, he did not pull out.
No, he didn't pull out.
But with VAR, it gives them, whoever they are, the opportunity of upgrading it, and obviously they did that. No, it's a red card every step of the way. If VAR finds something out that's somehow been eluded by the ref, that I applaud that, to be honest. Anyway, he said...
It was such shit. It's like, I mean, that would have been a red card 20, 30, 40 years ago.
His reaction's pathetic.
Awful tackle,
Along with the captain, who said he'd not seen it back, but he said on the pitch at the time, he didn't think it was a sending off. And
he didn't think it was a foul, I don't think,
is he? Sousa and a couple of the others at the time, I remember reacting as well. And they were incredulous. Holgate had the look of innocence. And
even when he'd been booked, they were arguing.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, he was arguing about the booking. And they were upgraded to a red. I mean, there's delusion, and then there's excuses. There's avoiding the question, and then there's just plain
bullshit.
They
should go back and interview Armand Pavlovic, whatever, who recently was also the guy who wouldn't wear the rainbow laces armband when he was captain as well. So he's obviously a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
He and interview him and genuinely ask him, do you still think that wasn't a wasn't a red card, because if you don't, then you're fucked with.
I know Holgate has apparently apologised to his teammates in the changing rooms, and has subsequently, apparently somewhere has apologised to Mittimer somewhere. I don't know where or how, but that is an acknowledgement that Wilder's talking shit, of course.
Yeah.
But anyway, my opinion is Sheffield United are thugs. Their opinions don't surprise me. They are the inevitable product of a manager who's very old school thinking.
I've never had any issue with Sheffield United before, but I'm glad they're going down now, the way they played the two games against us recently.
Football, isn't it? It's very old school thinking.
Now, we're lucky to get a point against us last time, it was in the home game, because we should have a penalty at 1-0.
But I've also got this issue with this often seen self-appointed delusion of tough northernness.
Yeah.
What does all that shit mean? It doesn't mean anything to me at all. There's fouls, and then there's proper laws of the game.
I think it's called having a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. And Wilder played for us, of course, under Mickey Adams. But even then, there was that thing, wasn't there? Even he called out Southern Softies about his own team, which was full of northerners at the time, Mickey Adams. Anyway, the majority of the most thuggish players to grace the game, for me, include southerners. You've got, obviously, Wilder's not one of them. But you've got... Oh!
Yes!
It's a penalty for Worthing, is it? No? No?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Where is it? And he's given a yellow. Now he's claiming it's offside. Anyway, the point is...
It's a clear foul, mate! Get over it! The other player was offside, not him. He's not interfering with play. Know the rules. He's not interfering with play. Know the rules, for God's sake.
The Welling players are not happy. A penalty's been given. They're talking about an offside. The irrelevant player was offside. Oh, you got to bless them.
Literally know the rules. It's ridiculous.
Anyway, that's it about Sheffield United. We can now concentrate on the rest of this. We are now in the... must be in about 65th minute, something like that.
No idea.
There's loads of mouthing going on from Welling. Worthing have got a
penalty.
Should have
booked that guy, Lino.
They've had a great season. My two games watching have been 4-1 wins. That is not happening today because they're already 2-0 down. They do have a penalty. It's Ollie Pearce stepping up.
Yeah.
And he scored! Yes! Ollie, the legend, 33rd goal of the season, no less. Ollie Pearce.
And he's not ended his run while I've been watching. I was assuming he was going to do that.
I bloody love Ollie Pearce.
I don't know what they were complaining about. It's like, you've got to know the rules. It's like, he wasn't interfering with play. He left the ball, and then the other guy came in and took him out.
Yeah, what's wrong
it's
that?
Simple.
Brilliant.
And that's exactly what the Lino said to him.
Speaking about Worthing, by the way, Yeovil are running away with it. They're 10 points clear with the game in hand. Worthing themselves are 5 points clear in second. They've had a fantastic season. It looked wobbly for a while, but no one else was.
But they're on a really good
initiative
run at the moment, although really obviously not at the moment tonight, but generally a really good run.
Looking good. Obviously, the key target is to finish second, where they are at the moment, to get home advantage in. Avoid the eliminator and get home advantage in the semi finals of a playoff. And if they are second and they get through to the final, they would be guaranteed home advantage in the final. Third place would be guaranteed to be away. Well, it all depends on who gets through, basically. Yeah. So, fourth and fifth.
Is the final still home and away? A home advantage?
Yeah. Second and third are in the semi-final. And they'll be at home. They'll be at home to the fourth, fifth, sixth and seventh, whoever gets through from the eliminators.
We're Welling player rolling around the floor there now.
It's like watching Argentina or something, isn't it, Peter?
Ah, you Villa in disguise. Which is on another note, amuses me that I was speaking to a Fulham fan at work today, and he was moaning about Villa's time wasting antics.
Oh, that's so rich, it's ridiculous.
I mean, to be fair, Villa are worse than Fulham, but I think they're just better at it. I think probably.
Oh.
I'm comforted by the fact that he's guaranteed not to see his team lose a week on Saturday.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
I mean, two of the worst teams for us to play in a row, Everton and Fulham, Dyche and Fulham in the Premier League.
Oh, God, thank you for depressing me. I was quite
guaranteed not to
win
until
now.
Dyche and Fulham.
Anyway, it's 2-1. There's still time to pull it back. There is a player still down, a Welling player.
His head
looks like a bit of a bad injury because he's He's not getting up.
He wasn't anything. I mean, he might. Yeah. Probably a foul.
I think he's holding his head at first. And then
We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, more from us later on. And in fact, as things panned out, they went from bad to worse for Worthing. Unfortunately, a 4-1 defeat in the end, caught on the break a couple of times. I've got to hand it to Welling United. They're finishing and their counter-attacking was pretty good. Against a Worthing side who is used to scoring goals, but also used to conceding a lot. It's a little bit like Brighton, to be honest. Three games I've seen Worthing this season. 4-1 win away at Slough. 4-1 win away at Weymouth, which was just on Saturday. And then a 4-1 defeat tonight in the game at Welling. Not ideal for them, but it has been a good weekend. It was a good weekend for Worthing, but also, of course, for the Albion. That 5-0 win away at Sheffield United has set us up nicely. Back up into seventh place, ahead of West Ham, ahead of Newcastle. There's a bit of a gap ahead of us, so points catching is not going to be easy, especially as Peter was saying there at the end that we've got two teams that we notoriously don't do very well against in recent times, Everton and Dyche and, Fulham and Silver. So we'll see what happens in those games next. Thanks for listening to this episode. A great victory at the weekend. Let's hope we can get another one. And we really need to keep the momentum building now. We're getting some players back, not all of them. There's a couple of injuries going out the other way. But we are slowly but surely getting stronger. And we are now waiting for Thursday, the second legs of those eliminators in the Europa League. So next time we're on the pod, we will be talking, amongst other things, about that draw. Who are we going to get? We don't know. That is going to be taking place the day after, which is Friday of this week. And that's when we'll know who we've got in the last 16. So until that, and until we chat about Everton, thanks for listening as always. Stand or fall, up the Albion. Sports Social Podcast Network.